Let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our High Priest who intercedes for us alone. And he is the one who empowers our life to be holy just as he is. Father, we are thankful that once again you gave us the opportunity to open the doors of this place in Morgan Hill, California, and to praise the name of God and also to proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior. And Lord, as this is our first Sunday of the month and we celebrate communion together, we pray that this celebration will in thee provoke the remembrance of Jesus in our heart. Father, we pray also for our missionaries. We have Fred and Carol Lewis in preparation to return to Ukraine. We have Carl and Ruth Knott, who work in Huasca, Spain, very actively, and one of his children now is going to be married with one man, member of the church that he founded in Huasca, Spain. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Father, we pray for Eusebio and Marisa Perez as they labor in English and in Spanish in the Benal Medina area, in this beautiful area in the Mediterranean where they can share the gospel with visitors and with local people. We have the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, Father, where they're trying to expand into Gilroy and make another house of refuge for those in need. And we pray for the provision of the funds and the provision of people, personnel, and volunteers who will work there. Father, we are thankful that Ruben and Irene Zacher wrote to us, and they are thankful of our cooperation in their life. And we do feel we have an extension of our church there in the Lodi area and with the Spanish-speaking people. And I pray that you bless them greatly with patience, kindness, and gentleness so that they can guide their congregation and they can flourish according to your will. Father, we pray for ourselves. We have come to the house of God to worship you. And I pray, Lord, that as we open the word of God in a few minutes, that you will anoint my lips and control my heart so that I may present Christ as never before. That the people may leave this place knowing that Christ is Lord and is the rock of rocks of all the ages. Oh, Father, help me to convey the only Savior that we have and the only hope that we have, Jesus our Lord. And cause your people to rejoice about this and cause those who believe not, oh God, in your mercy, to bring them in into the kingdom of God. Father, bless us as we partake the communion together. Bless us as we share the cup and share the bread, symbols of Christ Jesus, his body, his blood, his life for ourselves. And Lord, we are grateful that you respond through many things that we have aspirations in growing the ministry. But Lord, our aspirations sometimes are not exactly your aspirations. More in detail, my aspirations not necessarily are yours. And then, Lord, you open doors for the Tate ministry. And now we have an extensive family, extension of the church in many families across America. And we greet them. And we thank the Lord for them, for those in Michigan and those in New Jersey and those in the state of New York and the state of Carolina and many other states, Lord, that listen to these tapes. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Bless them, protect them. Supply spiritual strength in their life as they are part of our congregation. And then, Father, you extended us in the radio ministry. And we have families who identify with us, the Colonel family and San Juan Bautista and the Faithful family in Carmel. And I forgot other names in Aptos and in different places of the area, Lord. Thank you for those people who are part of our church through radio. And now, Lord, you extended our church through the web page and the computers. And because of the kindness of KKMC, we are on the air across the world at 11 a.m. California time. Father, thank you that Fred and Laura take advantage of these and listen to our broadcast when they cannot go to church in Nevada. Thank you, Lord, that there are many, many, many others who are listening to our broadcast because they are right there in the computer. Lord, thank you that you are able to use what man discovered for your glory and for your honor. Thank you. Thank you, Father. And so, Father, the church is large and is big. We have no idea how large is our church because you have expanded us beyond our limits and counting how many. And in that, you keep us humble and you keep us on the track. That our business is not to count head, but to count Jesus, the great head of a church and the great rock of the church. Thank you, Father, for doing this with us. And now, Lord, we bring this offering to you. We love you. We thank you, Lord, that last week we have a very generous offering from one of our friends here. And we thank you, Lord, that our church never lack the need of supply. You are the supplier, Lord. And we are heading on for some expansions, new buildings, a new site for the church, and new things to be done. And one of our deacons told me, Lord, how are we going to do this? And we solved the problem. You already did it. Thank you, Father, that always you're ahead of us. Oh, how we trust you and how we love you. Bless the offering. Bless the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, this is Pastor Otero, and as the offertory takes place in the auditorium, I'd like to bring to your attention the beauty of this coming Sunday. We will have a full day dedicated to Christ's birth. In the morning, the pastor will have a special sermon about the uniqueness of Christ, and in the evening, two choirs, the adult choir and the young people choir and the children choir, actually three, will participate in a cantata together as a family. And so I encourage you, if it's possible for you, to come for the evening service at 6 p.m. Right here in Morgan Hill, California. Our address is right there across the freeway, 101 and Tenon Avenue. We are in the southwest corner of that corner, and we hope that you can make it so that we can be with you. Once again, our phone number is 778-2595. My office phone number is 779-2300, and the area code is 408. May God bless you as you prepare yourself for the worship service. Let us join the service in progress.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's one provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 717. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that we can come into your presence today because of the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we look to the scripture, we see that we too have been blessed with Peter, that you have revealed Jesus' identity to us through the scripture and the gift of faith, that he is the promised Messiah, your Son and truly God, the rock of our salvation. We are filled with gratitude for this great salvation that he has accomplished for us, that he bore our sins in his own body on the cross and graciously covered our shameful unrighteousness with his righteousness. Strengthen us, we pray, that we would keep his commandments. Give us understanding now, and bless your servant and our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as the door of the kingdom is opened through the preaching of the gospel here and on the radio. We pray that if there are some who are lost in unbelief and hear this gospel, that they would repent and would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be converted and pass from death to life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Our text for our meditation this morning is found within the reading of God's Word that has been done just a few seconds ago. Our text is placed in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 16 and in verse 18. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 18. The scripture says, Jesus is speaking to Peter, said, "And I also say to you that you are Peter." The Greek word for Peter used over there is a word in masculine called Petros. You are Peter. And on this rock, the word used here is different, is the word Petra. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against thee. I'd like to talk to you today about these simple words, upon this rock. Right there in verse 18, said, "And on this rock," or "upon this rock." I'd like to talk to you about this. What rock is Jesus talking about? Has been the discussion of over 1,500 years. What rock is Jesus talking about? Upon this rock, notice what he said, "I will build," not that church, but what did he say? my church, emphasizing that he alone is its architect, the builder, the owner, the Lord of the church. Now, I want this sermon to be preached today on the light of what 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, 24, 25, and 26 and 25 says. Today is Communion Sunday here at church, and I'm compelled by the scripture to do what the scripture says on Communion Day. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, 23, "For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" You notice that, verse 24? The Lord's Supper is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. "Do this in remembrance of me." Now look in verse 25. "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it,'" in what? "In remembrance of me." And so my intention this morning is to bring to your attention the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to go home today, or I want you to shut off your radio or turn off your computer, wherever you are listening today, saying, "Oh, we remember Jesus today. We remember Jesus today." And so we're going to remember Jesus out of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. "Upon this rock." What rock is Jesus talking about? That's a key thought about building the church of God. "Upon this rock I will build my church." Well, we are bound by the scripture to study what the scripture is talking about the word rock. And I tell you, it is fantastic because the word is in the original language, and you can trace that word through the scripture and find out what the scripture says about the rock. The first point I want to make is this: upon this rock, Israel was built. Upon this rock, Israel was built. The second point I want to explain to you is this: that upon this rock, the church is being built. And the next point I want to make to you is this: that upon this rock, your life can be damaged. Your life can be damaged. And finally, the conclusion, let us remember Jesus. Let's work together. Upon this rock, Israel was built. If you turn your Bible to the book of Numbers in chapter 20 and in verse 11, you find the first reference, actually the second, the first is in Exodus, the second reference concerning the word rock. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 11. "Upon this rock," said Jesus, "my church is going to be built." Well, the church of Jesus is not only a New Testament church, it's also an Old Testament church. And so we start with everything is start in the Old Testament. And in Numbers 20 and in verse 11, Moses is leading Israel. And the Bible said that Moses lift up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. There were a need of water. And God said, "Speak to the rock." And Moses disobeyed the Lord, and that's not the issue here. It will be another sermon. But he lifted up his rod that he was leading Israel, and he smote the rock twice, said the Bible. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And so the provision for Israel's life was in that rock that Moses found there in the desert. Are you saying, Pastor, that just a rock built of elements that God created, elements that deteriorate, are the foundation of Israel life. Well, if you want to understand this well, you turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 explains Numbers chapter 20 and verse 11. We learn in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and in verse 4. Now the Apostle Paul explaining to the church of Corinth concerning the passage in Numbers, he says, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drunk that spirit from that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." And so Paul makes it clear that the rocks that Israel, whatever in Exodus 11 or Numbers 20, the rock that Israel found and supplied life for themselves was a symbol of, a picture of the spiritual rock that supplies strength and provide life for us, Jesus Christ. Israel was not found on any element that contains matter, because matter is going to be destroyed, said the scripture. Israel was found in an element alone, the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, that rock in the book of Numbers, that rock in the book of Exodus, with the elements of supply and need, is a picture of the pre-incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, a demonstration that our Christ was there. And so the rock for Israel doesn't mean a rock of matter, means Jehovah for them, means Jehovah. Any Israelite can tell you that when you read the word rock in the Old Testament, they understand is the word Jehovah. And we who have received life from above understand, according to John chapter 8 and verse 58, that Jehovah, the word Jehovah means I am, the great I am is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we advance a little more in our study. The rock in which Israel was found and placed upon for their provision was Christ. Now what about the church? Was the church left to anybody here on earth to be the foundation, to be the strength, to be the builder of the church? I want to tell you this. Upon this rock, the church is being built. So it's very important. It's a cornerstone of understanding what the church really is. So now we go to the New Testament, and we go to the text that our brother read in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Upon this rock, the church is being built. And I want to slow down in the speech and slow down in the process so that I want you to see it in the scripture. Because without a scripture, then we are at the mercy of man. And I don't want you to say, Pastor Otero said the rock is this. I want you to say the scripture says the rock is this. Now, here is what we read in Matthew 16 and in verse 18. I say unto thee, Jesus talking to Peter, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And then Jesus added something tremendous. And the gates of hell will not prevent against it. See, before we were Christians, we were all prisoners of Satan in his hell. And Jesus saying to Peter, the hell in which the people are today, they no longer will be a barrier. They will not prevent me from taking people from there and place it into the kingdom of God. So Jesus saying this rock is so fundamental because this rock will have the power to take people out of hell into the presence of God. Now, the New Testament is beautiful, because offer tremendous explanation of this. Look in Ephesians chapter 2 with me, verse 20, 21, and 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, 21, and 22. Let's see the explanation as the Apostle Paul explained to the young church of Ephesus. As you know, Paul was the missionary, one man alone, without car, without train, without airplane, without radio, without newspapers of communication. One man alone is responsible for the expansion of the church in Europe. And he reaches Ephesus. And when he reaches Ephesus, he visits them later on. And then from Corinth, he writes to Ephesus. And look with me, starting in verse 20, what he says. He said this, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, pay attention to your reading. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God and the Spirit. Boy, that looks like a contradiction, this passage. If you think for a moment what the passage said, it looks like a contradiction. Pastor Otero, who's the foundation? Jesus Christ or the prophets and the apostles? Do you see that? Right there in the verse, in verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. These are no God, these are man. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. And who's the cornerstone? Who is that rock, that cliff that holds a whole thing together? Well, it's easy. The Bible said the Lord Jesus, all right? Jesus Christ himself being that cliff that holds everything. There is here in California, about 45 miles exactly from here, a beach called Cliff Beach. Have you been there? And the reason is if you're in the beach and you turn up back, you see this giant cliff in front of you who holds the streets and everything. And that's the impression of the Bible. Jesus Christ being the corner, the real monumental block that holds everything. But the Bible say here, the Son men are the foundation. Well, let's do a little more research. Who the apostles and the prophets really represent? Is God saying in one side of the Bible, I will build my church upon this rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the other side is saying, but I want to let some men be the foundation of the church. Well, we have to look to who these men represent. If you turn your Bible to Hebrew, in chapter 1, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, you will find out who the prophets really represent. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers, by who? By the prophets. Each time you open a prophecy, Jeremiah, the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah. By the prophets, said the scripture. Hath in these last days is spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath, and then the elements of his glorification and so on. So the prophets stand in the Bible as the word of God. Is that right? When you look the word prophet, you don't see a man as a foundation. You see a man who has received revelation from God. As First Peter said, remember, holy man of God is Paul. They were not the initiators of that writing. They do not have an idea what they wrote. They do not have control or even arrangement of their grammar. God dictated and they wrote. And so the prophets are a picture in the scripture of the word of God. When you see prophet Jeremiah, when you look into Habakkuk, he said in Habakkuk, the burden of that the Lord gave to me. In other words, prophecy in the Bible, prophet, a prophet, we don't have any longer any one of those. If somebody tells you, I'm a prophet, he's a liar, or he's loco, one of the two. Because there is no prophet. The Bible has been completed. We don't need any prophet. You know why? Because the prophet in the scripture is a picture of the man of God who will come in and speak the message of God or record the message of God. In the case of Jeremiah, for example, who clearly said, God to Jeremiah, write these words, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had to write the words. You know, when Jeremiah was alive, one king took the only Bible in existence and burned it. And when you read Jeremiah 32, 33, 34, God goes to Jeremiah and says, don't worry, Jeremiah, rewrite the scripture. No, where did he get the memory? Had no memory. God dictated again. Psalm 119, verse 89 said, thy word of God is settled in heaven. And so God opened the file, floppy number 2, 3, 4, put it in Jeremiah's head, and Jeremiah wrote again. Amazing. A prophet is a picture of the word of God. Now, what about the apostles? Well, turn your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 13, we find here again a revelation of who the apostles were to the church. To the church. This is the claim of the church. Some people said, well, we live by tradition, and tradition is part of revelation. If that's true, here is tradition. And look at what tradition says. For this cause also, said the Apostle Paul, thank we God without ceasing. Why, Paul? Because when, look at what the church says, ye receive, ye are the church, when you, Thessalonica church, receive the word of God, which ye hear of us, of the apostles, ye receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Is that clear? The Apostle Paul says, each time that we spoke to you was not the word of a man, was the word of God and the truth of God. And so the apostles also are a picture of the word of the living God. So here you have the prophets representing the word of God in the Old Testament. And then the apostles representing the word of God in the New Testament. If you read your Bible through, you will never find a claim from any man, any of the apostles, saying, I'm the founder and I'm the head of the church. No one passage, include Peter. So please, move your Bible with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. I show it to you. No one of these men claim to be the head of the church or claim to be people who we the founder of the rock of the church. We read in 1 Peter in chapter 5 and starting in verse 1. There is a meeting, a council meeting with other elders. Now, he's an apostle. He's the chief. And then you have pastors from all the churches. And look at what he says in verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, who am, what did he say? A fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ. We studied last Wednesday that that makes him an apostle, a witness of the suffering of Christ. But what did he say? I'm a fellow elder. I've been talking to the Bishop of Canterbury in the phone. because I want to have permission by the Queen of England to review the manuscripts, number 3 and 4, who are dated for the year 490, and they're in the Abbey. And they requested about 6 months ago, this, I sent all my credentials and my records and all these, and I think the FBI was involved because one night I saw a fellow knocking around my neighborhood and my neighbor said, oh, you look, applying a job in England, they're asking about you. So I knew that they were asking even the FBI. Finally, I got a letter from the Bishop of Canterbury who said, we consider you a fellow in the faith. You know what a fellow means? Just one-to-one. You are just one-to-one. You are welcome to examine the documents, and we will give you the Abbey permission to come and review the documents. You know, they are very precious. A fellow. When I had that, I showed it to my boss in the radio. He said, now look, I'm a very important person. I'm a fellow. That's a very English. You don't say I'm a partner in a company. You say in English, I'm a fellow in this company. I mean, you're in the highest level, a partner, see, an equal level. And this is what the Apostle Paul is, Peter is saying here. I'm talking to the elders who I am a partner with you. Now, if there was an occasion in the whole history of humanity in which the Apostle Peter can establish that he is the head of the church, was there. He's talking to local pastors who are leaders in their churches. He says, I'm just one of you. I'm just one of you. So much that James, the Apostle James, was the pastor of the church of Jerusalem and not Peter, said the scripture. It's just tremendous what you discover when you read the Bible. And so what I'm saying to you is this. Upon this rock, the church of God has been built. According to Ephesians 2, verse 20, the foundation is the apostles and the prophet. What the Bible is saying there, then, if we substitute the word apostle for the word of God, and we substitute the word prophet for the word of God, the Bible is saying this, the foundation of the church is the word of God, and the rock that holds the word of God is Christ Jesus. The foundation is the word of God, and the cornerstone that holds that word of God alive is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you don't believe me, look to your Bible in Matthew 7, verse 24 and 25. I was hitting a shadow, and I know why now. I was lacking some light. So the ushers are penalized after this. All right. Matthew 7, verse 24 and 25. Now remember what I said. The rock is placed upon a great foundation, is the word of God. And the word of God is the Lord Jesus. And the rock is the Lord Jesus. Matthew 7, 24. We have even a little chorus with this. Therefore, whosoever hear these saying of mine, said Jesus, and thus them, I will like him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. See, the Bible talks about the rock. That's why I told you upon the rock is very important. See, I will like you to be like a man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. If your knowledge of God is found upon religion, the philosophy of man and the oppression of man will come and will blow away. But if your religion is Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus alone, man can do anything they want to you, you will be holding on. That's what the scripture says. If you build your spiritual house upon the writings of somebody, if you build your spiritual house upon the knowledge of some people, even though they may have 1,500 years of history, I tell you, it's just what you have, 1,500 years of history. But if you build your house upon the rock, You build your house upon eternity because Jesus is God. That makes a difference. Well, upon this rock, the church is being built. Needless to say, John 1:1 said that, remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And so the Bible and it unfolds is so beautiful. The foundation is the Word, and the Word is Christ. And the holding of that foundation is the rock, and the rock is Christ. And so the only thing that you have is Christ. Christ and no man. Now, a warning about this rock. Upon this rock, your life can be damaged and destroyed. Turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7 and verse 8. Don't take this message lightly. Look at what the scripture says about the rock. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 8. Therefore, to you who believe, said Peter, he, you notice in the King James in capital, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone, the rock which the builder rejected, have become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumbled being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. If you said, well, it's not the word of God alone, Pastor, but it's the word of God plus tradition, the word of God plus history, the word of God plus man writing, the word of God plus philosophy, the word of God plus science. If you say that, that stone is going to cut you in pieces. What means? A stumbling block and a rock of offense. What that mean? Well, it's explained for us in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 6, the Bible explained to us what that means. This beautiful rock, this beautiful word of God, the foundation of our faith, this beautiful rock, the building support of our faith, can be upon you and destroy you. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. Let no man deceive you. Chapter 5, verse 6. With vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of what? Of disobedience. If you remember in Peter, we read that the stone which the builder rejected had become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, stumbling being disobedient to the word of God. That's what Peter said. And what is disobedience? Disobedience is the wrath of God. So here you have a remarkable description of that words of Jesus. Upon this rock, I will build my church. No Pastor Otero's church, no so-and-so church, no the Protestant Catholic church, no the Roman Catholic church. Jesus saying, I will build my church. Let us not rob him of his privilege and call ourselves anything else than the church of Christ. So let me, before I bring to you the conclusion, let me go back to the thoughts again. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I know you are in a small pebble. You know Pebble Beach? That's what he said. You are a little pebble, Petros. It's explained in John 1:42. I don't have enough time to go through that. At 4 o'clock we did it many times with the class and so on. You're a little pebble, like the Pebble Beach here in Carmel. You're just a little bit Petros. But upon this rock, upon this Petra, upon this cliff, I will build my church. Are you saying, Jesus, that you build something new? No, sir, because the rock, upon the rock, Israel was built, remember? Oh, there was a real actual rock. Moses strike the rock, water will come in. Another occasion, Moses spoke the rock in Exodus, and water came in. They need supply. They need energy. Water is a symbol of the Spirit of God in the Scripture, according to John 7, 37 and 38. And so the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 10:4, remember that. Here is what it is. Those people in the Old Testament, they did all of these, but that was Christ. And what God was meaning is, I will support you. I will place you into my kingdom. I will hold you into my kingdom. I'm going to do everything. Let's not rob God of his job. Some people told me the other day, a rabbi, by obedience, Israel is a holy nation. He means it. Obedience is the result of being holy. You don't do anything to be holy. You are holy because he is holy. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. See, if you miss the New Testament, I tell you, you miss a lot. And now the new Hebrew Bible, rather than having 39 books, they had 24. I'm a member of the society in Jerusalem. They sent me from Jerusalem the new Bible, reducing the numbers of books so that you read it quickly. Wow, what Satan is able to do, you know? What Satan is able to do. Upon this rock, the church is being built. Don't read Matthew 16, 18 and think that Jesus will confine to a finite man the eternal glory of God. Don't think that Jesus will give to a man who perish the glory of a God who is eternal, please. And then think carefully. If you reject the idea that this rock is Jesus, if you reject the idea that the foundation of our life is the Word of God, the wrath of God is upon you. Think about that. So here's the conclusion. Let us remember today, Jesus is the rock. Is that a simple lesson? Let us remember. You people, go home with this. The rock of my life is not my job. The rock of my life is not the money and the stocks that I will have one day. The rock of my life is Jesus. He will hold me in America. He will hold me in Europe. He will hold me in Asia. He will hold me in Australia. Wherever I go, if I'm upon the rock, I'm safe and secure for everything. And the day that he takes me to his presence, I will be flying by and by into the house of God because he went there to prepare a place for me. No man, Jesus, God. Wow. So it would be good to ask you, what is your faith? Upon what? Upon the rock? Or upon a set of doctrines and catechism the man has created? Whether Protestant or Roman Catholic. What do you put your faith on? Upon the foundation, the Word of God, or upon anything else? I was sharing this sermon with somebody in the airport. And he asked me a good question. He said, sir, how do I get into the rock? Upon the rock. How do I get upon the rock? So I thought it was a cliff. You cannot get there. God put you there. Let me read it for you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians 1, 13. The Apostle Paul said, the church of Ephesus, in Ephesians 1, 13, in whom ye also trust, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Do you notice the word after? First, you need to hear the word of truth, the foundation. See what the scripture said? In whom ye also, after ye hear the word of truth, the gospel, that's your foundation. And then it said, in whom after ye believe, that's a time. When you hear the Bible, you puzzle. First, you said these people are crazy. Secondly, you said, oh, who cares? And thirdly, you said, I don't want this. But one day, miraculously, you look again upon the scripture. By the mercy of God, you are one of God's children. You look again, and then you come to believe. And when you come to believe, there is no after. And whom also after ye believe, after that is what happened? You were sealed. There is no after, no period of time. You were sealed. You come to believe, and God picks you up and puts you upon the rock. And now you are sealed forevermore. That's the God I wanted. A God that sees me as an unbeliever. A God that sees me in a jail in hell. But a God who is a rock, a big rock enough to pick me up and put me in that rock, and I'm saved forevermore. When I was like Anthony, I enjoyed. My daddy was big like me, tall and big muscles. And he carried me piggyback. In his shoulder. We call it babucha in Spanish. It's a different word that comes from the Arabs. And wherever I cross the street, a babucha, see, it was a big avenue in Argentina, in Buenos Aires. And I was scared. So I said, babucha, babucha. My father got, put me up, put over there. And my mother used to say, he's a big boy. Oh, no, he's my boy. And he go around and he crossed me the street. I was just fantastic. I don't worry about any car. I was a babucha. I was on the top of my father's shoulder. Don't cross this life by yourself. Get upon the rock. And you don't have to. You don't have to worry anymore. Do I have to work, Pastor? Certainly. Do I have to have misery? Certainly. But none of this will affect your life in heaven. You are sealed forever. But if you are in a man, doctrine, or religion, you will perish. You hear it today. Ask the Lord mercy that he will put a babucha, that he will put you on the rock, and you will be secure. Thank you, Lord, that you specialize in taking us, whatever we are, and place us upon the rock, the foundation of our life. Thank you, Father, that the rock is not the man, but Jesus himself, the man God. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you that you took us from under the rock to the top of the rock. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, have mercy on many, that they too may come into a grasp, into a clear cut to believe that Jesus is the rock of our salvation. In him we pray. Amen.
Choose to lose when you could win. you. And thank you again for the beauty of the unity and the service from beginning to the end, one family upon this rock. We have the Lord's Supper, and Brother Ken Durillo, I want you to be available to come here with me, please. And Brother Mike, and let's see, Brother Victor. All right, I was looking to see if I missed more deacons. No, I missed only Jack, is that right? Okay. Okay, we have it. Thank you, gentlemen. You may be seated. We're going to remember Jesus. He's our rock and foundation. And he left these symbols, very simple symbols. The bread symbolized the body, and the fruit of the vine symbolized his blood. Actually, both of them symbolize his life. And so today we remember that Jesus Christ is our rock. Matthew 26:26. They were eating a dinner, last dinner, in the house of Mark in the mountains of Jerusalem. And the Bible said, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take it, this is my body. This represents my body. Now remember, Jesus used a lot of allegories. In John 10, he said, I'm the door. Was he an actual door? No, he just said, I'm the door. In John 1:29, he's the Lamb of God. Was he a lamb or he was a human being? He was a human being. And so therefore, this is another allegory that Jesus used. We are not taking literally when he said, this is my body, that when you take the bread into your mouth, is the body of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, this is bread. Actually, it's a cookie, I guess. Yeah, that's what it is. It's please don't believe that. That will be a catastrophe. If Jesus is this, that will be a catastrophe, I tell you. Thank God that this is a representation of his body. And the fruit of the vine, as gorgeous as it is not the blood of Jesus. This is a representation, again, of the blood of Jesus. And by partaking, you are saying, I'm one with the Lord. And if you are one with the Lord and I am one with the Lord, we learn in trigonometry that two things, when they're equal to themselves and a third is here, the three are equal. So we are all equal. Well, why I mix mathematics with this? My engineering comes out. So if you are with the Lord and I'm with the Lord, we are one. That's what that means. And so you may be a member here. You may be a visitor here. It doesn't make a difference. The body of Christ is not living.